Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hi, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. But let's go for lots of people at a time, because I think that's what we need right now. And I'm so excited to have this fantastic guest here today. We have Jonathan Hammond, who wrote this beautiful book. Look at how lovely it is. The Shaman's Mind, Huna's Wisdom to Change Your Life. And Jonathan is like a healer after my own heart in a lot of ways. So he's, you know, Reiki, shaman, world traveler, and somehow made the jump from acting, from being a Broadway and television actor, to being this, you know, this incredible spiritual guide just in time for the when everybody needs it on the planet right now. So welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Aloha. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. So tell us how you made that jump. How did you go from being a Broadway actor? And first of all, that's cool. Like, amazing. You got that.
It was cool. You know, there was just a feeling that I didn't have the reach that I needed, that there was something that I wasn't able to spend myself in that career the way I wanted to. I had always thought of acting as artistry and telling stories that would change lives. And it's not a big leap from acting to what I do now, because, you know, in acting, you learn the lines, you learn the blocking, then you hope for inspiration to come through. And in the same way, I'm using a lot of the same muscles in the work that I do now. I'm just, you know, gleaning wisdom and studying and then letting wisdom come through. So it's actually, it's a kind of a form of channeling, and it's not that much different than what I do now. And I think we all have an inner voice that we follow that sometimes asks us to do counterintuitive things, right? Right. The soul's journey is sometimes doesn't look familiar or appropriate to our friends and family, but there was just a need to make a change. And all my friends and family were like, but you're successful and all that. But there was just something else that was calling me. And I got some very clear messages, one on the volcano in Maui, that really made me reevaluate things and shift my life.
It's so cool. And it's so true. It's like our personal self has this, you know, desire, its own desires, its own agenda, and what we want and what we think is going to make us happy. And the soul, you know, the vision of our soul or the force of our soul trumps that every time. And you know, you've got to follow, especially when you're committed to the spiritual path like you are. We have to sometimes let go, you know, pick up your bed and move, you know, right?
We do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be on the spiritual path is to really let go of what everyone thinks, because yes, we're following an inner truth that is just uniquely our own. And so it's so important that everyone do that. Everyone in this culture is trying to assimilate, and to be on the spiritual path is to let go of trying to assimilate and create life out of yourself.
Mm-hmm. And why shamanism? What was your pull towards that direction?
Well, I'd always loved nature, and in shamanism we revere nature, we worship nature, and the reason why we would worship or revere anything is because that thing has something to teach us. And when you look at nature exemplifies interconnection. It is always moving towards growth and creation. It never turns on itself. It never denies itself what's good for it or what it needs. And so to be like the forest, to be like nature, is to honor our own inner growth and creation and our own sense of that we are connected to everything else. So as you see the holism in nature, if you place yourself as a human in that, you find your path in a new way. So that's the reason why. Yeah.
I love that. And I think it's so true that, like, you know, even in this time, like we're talking and, you know, we're still kind of in pandemic world. People are really staying at home, and I've noticed a big shift in people spending more time outside. And I think that there was something in our old lifestyle about being so disconnected to nature, and everyone's out walking around, everyone's in their garden, everyone's kind of cut loose. And I notice is about that is that people feel closer to divine spirit. They feel closer to God. They know place in things. They feel like they know their selves in a different way when we connect with nature.
Yeah, as we were talking about online, I had COVID at the very beginning of the quarantine, and I really journeyed with it. It was difficult. I didn't have a very serious case, but I was sick for about a month. And I really journeyed with it, and I felt into it, and I felt the medicine of this virus. Yeah. And it really is a beneficial force that comes from the earth. Mm-hmm. And it is meant to guide us all inward. And it all touches us. It might touch us in a way that where we have physiological symptoms, or it might just touch us in a way that we can't escape its reality. And in not escaping the reality, we were all still being given this opportunity to go inward and to really look at the things inside. Because when the dust clears, when the dust settles, and we are able to go outside again and start our lives again, healing is really going to be needed. And anyone who's listening to this program, you feel an inner call to be part of the solution. Right. And these difficult times have been prophesied by so many indigenous cultures. And the prophecies were always that this time is very difficult, very scary, but that we would get to the other side of it, and that a new ascension of consciousness would emerge. And that millions of people have incarnated at this time to be part of that solution. And the virus serves us to fortify ourselves and to claim our seat there, to claim our seat as the army of light workers that I write about in my book, that so many of us are feeling that when the time comes, I'm to be part of this solution. And so if you use this time now to fortify that and strengthen that, so you can move into your purpose.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's so good. You know, and I think too, it's like, you know, viruses are a part of the way that we evolve. You know, they kind of get in there and they break up our DNA. We can evolve slowly through natural selection, and we can take a quantum leap in evolution when the virus kind of breaks up and rearranges our stuff really quickly. And I think we need that. Like, we needed a quick intervention, you know, to kind of like level us all up in the shift of consciousness that you're talking about. And like you, you know, so many people that I know and that I work with and that just are in the world of healing are feeling super called to be healers right now. And I'm with you with the Let's Build the Army of Lightworkers. I love it. And I know that you originally studied with more of the South American, Central American shamans. Yes. How did you make the jump from that's, and I get it too, because I did too. Like, you know, we were talking before the show that in my teenage days, when I was seeking so much for spiritual knowledge, I came across Carlos Castaneda and the Mexican shamans, and kind of my beginning in shamanism was through there. Was it the same for you that you went there first?
Yeah, I was more just like a kind of light worker, kind of a healer. It was Reiki, and it was those sort of things. But again, I did have this call to nature, and to my mind, shamanism lived in Central America and South America.
Right.
And then I happened to have the good fortune to go to Hawaii, and the first or second time that I went there, I had these really formative experiences where the trajectory of my life really changed in those places or on that island. And then I began to research Hawaiian spirituality and Hawaiian shamanism, and I found corollaries to all the ways in which I was already working. It was like I already had the knowledge, even though I didn't have the names for it. It felt very much ancestral. It felt very much like a call. Yeah. And then the Hawaiian shamanism. What's fascinating about it is that the Hawaiians were onto a kind of psychology that we would identify as Western millennia before Western psychology emerged. They were onto the unconscious mind. They were onto the power of the conscious mind. They were onto the idea of a higher self or a superconscious mind. And in all the shamanic traditions that I followed, there wasn't that psychological aspect to it, which I was so interested in. And so what I found in the Huna wisdom was a psychological, philosophical system that if we follow, we actually enter into and see through the lens of how the indigenous shamans see cross-culturally. It's really fascinating, but so I found that in Hawaii.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I mean, I know something about Huna. You know, I love Ho'oponopono. I think everybody, you know, is kind of tuned in the past few years knows that. And I've known some other studied some other aspects of Huna. And what strikes me about it is it's so much about love. It's so much about heart, more than any of the other forms of shamanism. Mm-hmm. They're sort of about power, or they're about consciousness. Mm-hmm. You know, they're about wisdom, and those are all great things that we need too. But that something about Huna that's so much about the heart. Can you talk about that a little bit? And yeah. And aloha, right? That's
aloha, right? Yeah. I mean, what I've never understood about clinical approaches to healing is that love is not taught as a tool. And from a shamanic perspective, from a shamanic healing perspective, love is the tool. Because anything that we hold inside of us that is anything less than our perfection and our inherent divinity, whatever those problems are, whatever those stucknesses are, those are all born of unlove. And so to administer love to the things that came about or that we're still holding that just had to do with love being withheld in some way is to really solve the problem. And in Hawaiian, love is actually, aloha is a greeting. It means hello and goodbye, but it also means love. And so you're greeting everyone with love, you know, it's sort of like, hello, love. And the translation of aloha is really to share life force with the other is the formula for happiness and love.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about Hawaii that's so different? I mean, that it really does have a different vibe from any other place. What is that?
Well, Hawaii sits on a vortex of energy. You've maybe heard of the land called Lemuria.
Yeah.
And there was an ancient continent, a huge continent in the middle of the South Pacific called Mu, M-U. And non-Hawaiians call it Lemuria, but Hawaiians would call it Mu. And then there were cataclysmic shifts in the world on the earth, and Mu sort of sunk into the sea. And it's been said that it's been theorized that the land of Mu was either a place where all the esoteric wisdom spread out to the world, or the recipient of all the esoteric wisdom from the world into one place. And so it's a real central hub and spiritual ascension, and it was said that the people who lived on this place were spiritually really aligned. It's even been said that Reiki was an essential part of the Mu children's education. So there's a real sense that, and you feel when you go to Hawaii, the mana or the power of the land, that the land holds this wisdom. And what's interesting about the Huna wisdom is that you've heard it all before. I've just never heard it as clear or in one place, but you've heard it all before. And there's a sense of that everything conglomerated in that place. And so the very air, the very atmosphere pervades with this sense of truth and wisdom and light and ascension. To even go to Hawaii is to engage your imagination, because you can't imagine what you're experiencing.
Right. You can't.
Yeah,
you can't. It's sort of like I've traveled all over the world, and Hanalei Bay.
Man, I mean, come on.
You know, it's right up there. I think it's the most beautiful place I've ever been.
Yeah.
And I've been all over.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think it's like, most of the time that I spent in Hawaii, I was in that state of sort of awe. I think there's an awe that comes with the beauty of of Hawaii and how, I don't know if what you think about this theory, but I've been dying to ask you. Somebody told me that each of the islands in Hawaii corresponds to one of the chakras.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's true? What do you think about that?
I think that Hawaii engages the spiritual imagination in all kinds of ways. I know the book that you're talking about where he likens the different islands to the chakras. I've even heard Maui described as the heart center of the earth, the heart chakra of the earth.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a sense to that. There's a sense that it really is just this very, very special place. It's hard to understand what it is that you're feeling there, but everyone feels that. And everyone feels that they want to be a part of the energy. Everyone starts engaging in aloha. Everyone starts really taking the important Hawaiian rules is to love the land as you would love a parent or a sibling. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so there's a real sense of reverence of the land there. And just to say this too, you know, in the book I talk about Hawaii is a metaphor for whatever life that you want to create, and that Hawaii exemplifies just what a paradise can be. And so it might not be that you move to Hawaii, or even that that you even resonate exactly with this material. But the idea is that we all can create a life that is our own Hawaii, that is our that we imagine ourselves into something that sumptuous, that glorious, that beautiful.
So it's almost like a state of mind, you know.
That's right. That's right. Because from a shamanic perspective, we think of heaven and God being here. We're not trying to go somewhere. We're not trying to ascend anywhere. We're trying to embody our life here. We came into this world. We incarnated into bodies. And so we're supposed to experience all the pleasures that the body allows us. That is to follow the shamanic path.
Cool.
And so that's just a way to think of it. And so Hawaii, you just want to be in your body because it's just so sensual and splendid and beautiful. And so it exemplifies a truth about shamanism, that heaven is here and we are to create it here.
I love that. And I'm from Boston. You're from New York.
Yeah.
So we can see why Hawaii would be, you know, paradise, especially in February.
Yeah.
But tell me about the seven principles of Huna. Like what are these? They're sort of rules or principles to live by. What are they?
Yeah. There's seven amazing ideas that if you can actually align with them, and really discipline with real discipline, you enter into the magical thinking of the shaman's mind. So the first principle says the world is what you think it is. So that means that not only is the world your experience of the world based on your thoughts, but that the world itself, that reality itself, will shift and change based on how you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that our thoughts and beliefs have a co-creative influence on reality itself.
A very quantum mindset, but they were talking about it
so quantum,
long ago.
So quantum. The second principle says there are no limits, which means that there is no separation. Which means that from a Huna perspective, separation is a useful illusion and we use it when it suits us, but it's not the nature of reality. The nature of reality is that there's just one big thing happening and we are all individual apertures through which that one thing sees itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so to heal ourselves is to heal others.
Cool.
My Hawaiian teacher, Serge King, he says, if you want to heal someone, think of them and you feel good.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that we are each an individual microcosm of the macrocosm. So whatever we heal in ourselves, we heal on the planet.
It's a little bit about behind the Ho'oponopono. And when you run the Ho'oponopono prayer, you're working on yourself, like yourself as a proxy in a way for whoever that you're working with.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. As with Hawaiian shamanism exemplifies the spiritual adage of as within, so without.
Right.
And that's why even now, as we talk about the coronavirus and the going inward, it's like without even leaving your house, if you're doing work on yourself and you're really addressing the things that you need to let go of, that is having a substantive effect on the collective from an energetic point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads to the third Huna principle, which says that energy flows where attention goes. So that means where we put our attention and our focus elicit an energetic response from the universe that bring us and begin creating the nearest physical equivalent of whatever we're putting our energy and focus on.
It's like a manifesting or a law of attraction kind of.
It's a law of attraction thing, but it's actually the nature of the universe. It's it's fascinating stuff. The fourth one is now is the moment of power. So we know this from mindfulness that now is a really good place to be. But from a Huna perspective, now is the only place where we can actually access power. So now being the moment of power, you can't do anything yesterday, you can't do anything tomorrow, you can only do anything right now, which means that in any given moment, you can start over right now.
Hmm.
So who you think you are is not based on who you were yesterday. It's who you think you are right now. You see how empowering it is?
So cool.
It's almost like annoyingly empowering. It doesn't let you off the hook to ever, you know, it really says that you co-create your reality. The next Huna principle is aloha, which just means that love's perspective is part of every choice and action that you take. The sixth Huna principle, and this is a tough one for Westerners, but all power comes from within. So that means that nothing has influence over you or more power over you unless the power within yourself grants and allows something to have power over you. A good way to really understand that is just that don't stop caring what everyone thinks.
Yeah. So not taking things so personally, that like that.
Yeah. That's right. Not taking things so personally, and that it's only your truth that is truly valid. And the last unit principle says effectiveness is the measure of truth. Effectiveness is the measure of truth, meaning if it works, it's true.
Wow.
If it works, it's real. And so again, that puts the power right in you to decide what is true for you, what's real for you.
Because not everything works for everybody. Like what works for me might not work for you.
That's right. The only absolute truth is everything. Everything is. That's the only absolute truth. Everything else is just something someone made up. And so the more that we can know that what is true for us is only what is real for us. That's why it's so important to really look at how we assimilate with society, because often we are engaging in other people's truths as a way for us to be, and that takes us away from our own internal power and gives the power elsewhere.
Or we're really busy pushing our stuff on other people.
Or that too. That's right. Because it works the other way around. Not only do I have all the power, but so do you have all the power.
And if people really want an entry point into this, how do they get in? How do they, besides getting your book, which they should do for sure.
Sure. So the easiest way to understand how you co-create your life with your thoughts and beliefs, the easiest way to do that is to just look at your life. And if there are things in your life you don't like, that means that there is something inside you, a belief, an intention, could be unconscious, doesn't mean you've necessarily done anything on purpose, but that there is something within you that is a reflection of that thing that you don't like in your life. That the thing that is not okay in your life, there's some part of you that says that thing's perfectly okay. And that's what needs to be looked at. And the more that we can just see that what the things that are going on in our life that we don't like, that in some way we have some degree of complicity with their creation in our life or their presence in our life. And with that power, we can change it.
So it's really looking at sort of whatever pain or issues or problems, discomfort we have as a way to turn inward and do some self-examination.
That's right. And we all have wounds. We all learned a long time ago that we're something less than we are. We're all walking around with a case of mistaken identity, that we're in some way less lovable, less gifted, less attractive, less smart than we really are. And we learned these things as children. And even if you had wonderful parents, the child will still constrict against the pain in the world and in some way hold on to this lesser view of self. And the process of going inward and actually directing love to that illness, to that low self-esteem, to that low sense of self, to that fear about money, that fear about life, to address love to that is to give that thing the very medicine that it needed to not be created in the first place.
I like it. So it's so simple in a way. It's just pain needs love. Pain needs love. Like that's right. So
that's
beautiful.
Right. That's right.
So we're with Jonathan Hammond today and his beautiful book, Shaman's Mind, Huna Wisdom to Change Your Life. And it truly is a beautiful book. It's lovely to read. It's just yummy. That's the way that I describe it. It's yummy like Hawaii and yummy like you, because you're pretty yummy, Jonathan. So how can people find your book and work with you if that's what they want to do?
Sure. The easiest way is jonathanhammond.com. And I think they'll probably put up a slide just showing you my website.
We got a banner for you.
So that jonathanhammond.com, you can reach me there. I'm in New York City sometimes, although since COVID-19, I've been entirely online, which has been wonderful.
Yeah. And
you can buy the book, which is coming out today. In fact,
today. So exciting. Today's your book launch. Oh my God. It's so thrilling.
Yeah. And that's available on Amazon and places where books are sold. And that's called The Shaman's Mind, Huna Wisdom to Change Your Life. And
there's a lot of practices
in there. It's almost like a workbook. It'll really help you really integrate and understand this knowledge.
And I'm saying, if you're locked down, you should go get this book so you can visit Hawaii in your mind. You know, like it was a fantastic, like if Hawaii is a state of mind, your book is a fantastic way to get there.
Good.
So thank you so much for being with us today, Jonathan.
Mahalo nui loa.
Mahalo and aloha.
Thank you.
And thank you. All of you guys for being with us here today. You can find me on my website, lisacampion.com. I hope you come by and visit. And in the meantime, thanks for joining us here on the Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time right here on Empower Radio.